From Washington, D.C., this is The Tightrope. I'm your host, Dan Smolin. Our mission on this podcast is to help you realize your dreams of doing meaningful work. Here you'll meet and be inspired by amazing people who overcame great odds. You'll discover what sparked them, how they explored work opportunities, the strategies that they employed to ensure career success, and the actions that they boldly took to make it all happen. You'll also meet esteemed and nationally recognized thought leaders who are helping people like you to develop work skill, experience, and leadership, and seize opportunity from a changing world so that your beautiful work dreams turn into reality. Together, let's turn work meaningful, for the future of work is meaningful work. Coming up, we revisit food justice nonprofit founder Adele Settle of Settle the Debt. She found meaningful work in ensuring that kids in need get healthy meals at their public schools. Adele updates us on the success that she and Settle the Debt have enjoyed, paying off thousands of dollars in accumulated student lunch debt at public schools in her Northern Virginia community. We also talk about the fast-spreading COVID-19 coronavirus and the plans now in place to make sure that kids who rely every day on school-served meals get fed if, during the crisis, their schools suddenly close. And she breaks some news in this interview. You don't want to miss what she has to report. But before we get to our interview with Adele, we want to thank you for being a part of the Tightrope. We appreciate all that you do and continue to do to help build our podcast. Please continue to point your friends who seek to do work that is profound, protects the planet, empowers people and communities, and is fun to do to our current and past episodes at dansmolin.com. Or they may subscribe by keywording the Tightrope Podcast wherever they get podcasts. Now to our important follow-up discussion with Adele Settle of Settle the Debt. We spoke to her on Tuesday, March 10th, 2020, over Skype from her offices in Gainesville, Virginia. So, welcome back to The Tightrope, Adele Settle.
Thanks so much for having me.
When we last spoke in November 2019, Settle the Debt had just become a 501c3 organization. It's now March 2020. How much has Settle the Debt raised, and how many schools have benefited from your program?
Sure. Since we last spoke, I was in the beginning stages of raising money for a big holiday pay down. We initially set out to raise somewhere around $26,000, $27,000. We actually wound up raising over $53,000 by New Year's Day. Yeah, it was amazing. We raised a ton of money. We wiped out the school lunch debt at over 30 elementary schools, and we dropped over $8,800 at one high school. We gave $7,000 to another high school and $5,000 to a third. So we didn't wipe out their full lunch debt, but we made a very major dent in all three of those. We've also continued to fundraise. So we've got a fair amount of money in the bank right now, and we are working on fundraising again so that we can wipe out even more debt towards the end of the school year this year. We've managed to pay off the lunch debt at quite a few schools, and we're excited to continue with that.
Also, since we last spoke, the Virginia General Assembly has convened, and your delegate in the House of Delegates, Danica Rome, sponsored some bills to address the school lunch debt program. Would you describe for our listeners some of the bills that have passed and how they will help children in need?
Sure. So I'm really excited about the legislation this year that Danica Rome introduced for us. She put out quite a few really ambitious pieces of legislation, and they have all passed. They've all passed the House and the Senate side, so they're headed to the governor for signature. It's going to allow for kids to get a full meal. So every child will get a meal, regardless of whether or not they can pay for that meal at the point of sale. So there will be no more alternative meals. Alternative meals will cease to exist in the state of Virginia. We will instead guarantee that every kid who asks for a meal gets a full standard reimbursable healthy meal, which means that we're going to have done away with a lot of the lunch shaming, and we're not going to have kids who are getting lesser poor quality meals. Instead, every single kid is going to get healthy food every day, which is amazing. We've also made sure that there won't be any collection agencies involved. So if you have school lunch debt at the end of the year, your parents aren't going to be sent to a commercial collection debt. The debt collection can all still be done by schools and by government entities. So if your treasurer's office or whatever is in charge of collecting the school lunch debt, that's fine. No one is going to be sent to a collection agency and be subjected to that kind of level of aggressive debt collection tactics. That's really exciting. We've also encouraged school boards to allow for and to solicit donations through organizations much like my own so that it's easier for other charities that want to get started in this field. Or, you know, eventually, you know, hopefully we can reach out and help additional school districts as well. And this will just give us an in to say, look, it's okay. You're allowed to seek donations from the community, and in fact, it's encouraged. And then there's another piece of legislation that will also make it easier for schools to distribute unused food at the end of the day. So if there was extra lunch or there were extra snacks or extra items that aren't going to be useful to the school and can't be, you know, set aside and used for tomorrow's meal or whatever, it allows schools to package that food up and send it home with kids so that there's no waste and any kind of excess food that exists goes into the hands of kids that need it. So I'm really excited. All of that legislation is going to do a lot of good. And I'm just especially pleased that we're not going to have alternative meals anymore and that every kid that wants a meal gets a meal.
When we first spoke, we were talking about settling the debt. You've gone far beyond that. How does this all feel to you?
It feels great. It feels like, you know, in 2017, when I got started with this, I saw it as, you know, a problem that I thought that I could help fix. And I feel like I'm doing that. I feel like I have, you know, with the help of my community and with an amazing delegate and a lot of people by my side working with me, we have actually taken a problem and found some solutions and made things better. And it feels pretty good to have accomplished that.
I'm just so pleased for you. Anyway, so as we speak, this is the second week of March 2020, and school systems around the country are bracing for coronavirus to spread in their communities. And many school systems, including ones right here in Northern Virginia, are readying plans to close for two or more weeks to help control the outbreak. And we know that many kids in need get their meals at school, and I understand that you reached out to your member of Congress, Jennifer Wexton, to determine what can be done to help such kids. I'm wondering if you could describe any of the plans that you've learned about or that are being considered to benefit such children in need if schools close.
Sure, absolutely. So I spent a good deal of time yesterday, maybe a couple hours really, talking about options with Jennifer Wexton's chief of staff, and she's exceptionally receptive and wants to help with these kind of problems. She hears me. She knows that feeding kids is of utmost importance, and she shares that value. And so she talked with me for some time, and we also thought about some ideas, ways to solve the problem. But I also spoke today with Adam Russo. He's the head of the school nutrition at Prince William County Schools, and he told me about a very exciting meeting that he had yesterday with Sunny Perdue, the secretary of, I believe, HHS for the federal government. So several large school districts, the nutrition folks went to a meeting with the secretary, and he made it clear that it was going to be acceptable to authorize schools to use the money that the federal government gives schools for free and reduced lunch to instead start distributing that more easily packaged simple foods that kids can put together and prepare themselves. So we can take the money that we would have been spending on the free and reduced lunch and other nutrition needs that the government provides and instead reallocate that money for the time that the schools are closed so that we have food that is going into homes for families in need. And the beauty of this also is that it's going to allow us to provide access to food to kids that aren't on free and reduced lunch. So families who maybe don't qualify for free and reduced lunch, but are clearly going to be in need at this point. You know, we've got a lot of families who are working poor. We've got a lot of people in the gig economy. people that are going to be losing a lot of income if folks are all quarantined or if folks are all just not leaving their house. So this is actually going to open up the ability for kids to get food even if they're not on the free and reduced lunch program. So as I understand it, the plans are being formulated now for locations, but it'll be distribution locations at schools throughout the community. So throughout Prince William County, we'll have various schools that will be open for very rapid, not a lot of lingering. There's not going to be any eating of food in the cafeterias type situation, but instead just a run in, grab a bag, run out. And it's going to be limited contact. And they're going to be very careful about any kind of spread of the coronavirus or COVID-19. So I think that they could even put together kind of a drive-through option, essentially, where we're just handing bags through windows. And that's, you know, that can get things going without a whole lot of contact. But they have a plan in place. They're going to start setting up, you know, distribution sites immediately if the schools are closing down. So there will be food available to our community and to our kids. And this meeting was with the Secretary of HHS and the federal government. So this is something that's going to be authorized for the entire country. This is something that isn't just Prince William County. It's all of Virginia. It's all of the United States. So if school districts are motivated to do this, they will have that ability. I don't believe it's going to be required, but I think it is going to be strongly suggested that you consider doing this. So throughout the country, there will be an option to feed kids through our schools, even if schools are shut down for some period of time, which is very exciting. And actually, I don't believe that information has even been put out into the news yet. So you heard it first.
That is very encouraging. Right now, there's so much uncertainty. My daughter, who is at VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, doesn't know when she will be going back. She got sent home with a lot of homework. And already today, there have been several colleges and universities that have gone to telecommunicated learning for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, many of them are not coming back at all. They're done for the semester. They're literally not reopening until, I mean, they're done. They're going to do all telelearning through the end of the semester. They're not going back.
I can't get my head wrapped around that. It's just incredible.
I mean, disease control, you really need social distancing, and this is the way that schools can prevent liability. They can protect their employees. They can protect the elderly in their community. You have to distance yourself from other human beings in order to prevent transmission. And it's not about you getting sick. You know, it's not about the people who are, you know, healthy and, you know, under 50, or it's not about the college kids that they're particularly concerned about. It's just that they're concerned that the kids who have mild cases or who are asymptomatic but are still able to transmit and spread the disease, that they are going to then have additional social contacts if they're at school. So the best thing to do is to do what your school and your community and your leaders are telling you to do. And if they say isolate, you should do it.
I could not agree more. Let's move on to your future plans. What have you and your board at Settle the Debt envisioned for the future?
Sure. So, we were planning on having a gala in April, but unfortunately, due to the novel coronavirus, we have decided to postpone that gala. So it was going to be April 24th, but at this time, we are postponing and we're just going to reschedule for the fall because we just don't want to risk the health of our supporters and the health of our community. And we just don't feel like it would be in the best interest of even the fundraiser to carry on if a lot of people aren't able to make it. So we're going to push that off into the fall, and we're still going to target raising $100,000 at our gala. That was our original plan. We're still sticking with it. And I believe we will be able to do that. We're also planning to raise a ton of money towards the end of the school year. So we're ramping up now. We're going to start online donations again and open it up and start hopefully getting in a lot of donations. Now, I know it's a hard time. There's going to be a lot of people who are, you know, not working right now because of the coronavirus. So we're just going to be taking it day by day, seeing how things go and, you know, still trying to raise money. But of course, with the sensitivity and awareness that it's a hard time for a lot of people if they can't go to work. So we understand that. And we're just going to do our best to carry on and to keep raising money and to keep paying down lunch debt.
So being a federally chartered 501c3, somebody who makes a contribution to settle the debt can use that for income tax purposes, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything that you donate to settle the debt is tax deductible as permitted by law. And you will get a tax receipt. I'll mail you one. And we're always grateful for any donation of any size, really. We get donations ranging from $3 to pay for one meal up to many, many thousands of dollars at a time. And all of them are appreciated and useful, and we're grateful for your support.
Well, I'm grateful for you, Adele Settle, for following your dream and affecting such positivity and benefit to the community. I mean, a lot of people have benefited from your vision and for all the support that the community has given you to help settle the debt in our schools and pay off student lunch debt. And I think we all here in Prince William County and in Virginia owe you a debt of gratitude, no pun intended. So for someone eager to learn more about Settle the Debt's mission, where on social media would you direct them?
Well, I'd go first to Facebook. Our Facebook page is probably the best situated to answer any questions or for you to reach out and contact me. You can find me at Settle the Debt on Facebook. You can also find me at settle_the_debt for Twitter. And you can also find me at Settle the Debt on Instagram. SettleTheDebt.org is my website. And Adele, that's A-D-E-L-L-E, two L's. At SettleTheDebt.org is my email.
Well, thank you again for walking the tightrope.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Our thanks go out to Adele Settle of Settle the Debt for again walking the tightrope with us. Links to her social media are included in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at dansmolin.com. On the tightrope, our success is your success, but we cannot build our community without your help and support. So please ask five friends to check out our podcast. Point them to current and past episodes on our website at dansmolin.com, or they may subscribe by keywording the Tightrope Podcast wherever they get podcasts. And if you haven't done so already, please join the Dan Smolin Experience to get our newsletter offering information, tips, and hacks to help you to succeed in doing meaningful work. To sign up, simply click the Subscribe to the Dan Smolin Experience newsletter button on our homepage at dansmolin.com. Fill out the short form, then click the Subscribe button at the bottom of the page, and you'll be on your way. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. You can locate our social media buttons at the upper right-hand corner of our webpages. From Washington, D.C., this is The Tightrope. I'm your host, Dan Smolin. And do remember this, our best days lie ahead. Stay healthy, everyone!